row by row, I'm gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone plants these seeds I sow. Someone warms them from below till the rain comes tumbling.
Hi, that was The Garden Song by Peter, Paul, and Mary, and I'd like to welcome you to the Lopez Gardening Spot, a half-hour organic gardening show that usually airs live on the first Wednesday of each month and then is rebroadcast during the month, but we had a little trouble last time and forgot to record it, so we're doing it over again today so that we can have it on the repeated Wednesdays of the month.
And hopefully I've got all the knobs set right this time.
I'm Jeannie Flynn, and my co-host for the show is
Ann Borlich-Cart.
Each month on the show, we have a topic for discussion that relates to what we're doing in our gardens and a guest gardener or farmer. This month, our guest is Debbie Hatch, an avid gardener on Lopez Island who has practiced year-round gardening and is going to share some information on how we can also have more productive gardens throughout the year. Welcome, Debbie.
Thanks for inviting me. It's great to be here.
Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, thanks. Before we continue on with our show, we'd like to say you are listening to KLOI LP FM 102.9 Community Radio from beautiful Lopez Island.
All views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host and or guest and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of KLOI or GIVE.
In just a bit, we'll have Debbie talk with us more about her garden and the possibilities for year-round gardening on Lopez Island. Around a quarter after the hour, we'll open up the phone lines at 468-3656 for comments or questions from listeners. We're going to start off today with Ann telling us about some of the upcoming garden events for July.
For the rest of this month, on Saturday, July 16th, and Sunday, July 17th, the Summer Arts Fair and Lavender Festival is happening from 10 to 4 p.m. at Palendaba Lavender Farm at 33 Hawthorne Lane and downtown on Court Street in Friday Harbor on San Juan Island. There will be a variety of cultivating, cooking, and essential oil distillation demos, craft workshops, tours, music, and picnics in the blooming fields, and more. Admission is free. The Summer Arts Fair features local and regional artists, music, a kids' creative center, a Chalk It Up sidewalk art contest, demonstrations, and a food court. Also, on Saturday, July 16th, from 10 to 3 p.m., the Olga Day celebration will be happening on Olga Road on Orcas Island. Call 376-5974 for more information. On Sunday, July 17th, anytime from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Community Labyrinth at 220 Fisherman Bay Road and Long and Winding Road is open to individuals to take a healing walk. Contact Susie Teague at 468-0550 for more information. A little further off island is in the Skagit County is Christensen's Nursery on Highway 20 and Best Road is offering a number of workshops in July. One is using and preserving herbs. This will be given on Saturday, July 16th at 11 o'clock. Another is a nursery walk through Christensen's greenhouses and grounds and a question and answer session on selection and care of specific plants and grasses on Saturday, July 16th at 1 o'clock. The last is a mini workshop on growing blueberries on Saturday, July 30th at 11 o'clock. Call 360-468-3821 to register. And then our last announcement is one for KLOI. Mark your calendars for Saturday, July 22nd at 7 p.m. KLOI and Lopez Center are sponsoring a live broadcast from Lopez Island of the renowned radio show West Coast Live and featuring local talent. Usually the show is broadcast from the ferry terminal in San Francisco. A little information about West Coast Live is that host Sedge Thompson engages, entertains, and enlightens. Each week, his two-hour radio variety show broadcasts live to satellite Saturday mornings in front of West Coast theater audiences and coast-to-coast radio fans. On the show, there is a rich mix of writers, thinkers, comedians, and musicians that come mostly from the Pacific Rim and the Western United States. And now, they will be coming to you from Lopez Island. So that's all our announcements that we have for the rest of the month, and we're on to talking again with Debbie Hatch, and we're so glad she could come back and redo the show, and we're hoping to have all the programs that we have for Lopez Gardner's Buck on archive in the future, so you can listen to this program over again in the future if you want to get that information again. So Debbie, how long have you been a gardener?
Well, I began gardening as a little girl with my parents, and each home I've had since growing up, I've always had a garden, so always grown food.
And was it a large garden that your family had?
We had quite a large garden, enough to feed 8 people, so I can't remember the acreage, but it was in New England in Massachusetts, and it was mainly a big summer garden because winters were too harsh, but we grew a lot of things to put by for the winter, squash, potatoes, onions, a lot of dried beans, that kind of thing. And my mother canned and froze lots of things. So I grew up tasting really good food, and I think that's a big reason that I like to garden.
You got a good beginning there.
Yeah.
How long have you had your garden on Lopez?
Well, we've had it for 18 years.
Wow.
And Scott and I both were involved in figuring it out. He's really good at designing how things, you know, can look nice.
Right.
and so that's been great, and it's just evolved over the years.
And can you explain a little bit what the layout is
of
the garden?
Well, one of the things that has really worked well for us, and actually the first thing we did, was to plant a hedge of Leyland cypress trees along the south and west sides of the garden, because we take a lot of wind where we are. So that was our first project. And then we laid out the beds as in a sort of raised bed pattern. They're not raised with wood. They're just mounded dirt. And I have 21 5x20-foot raised beds, so that makes it possible to rotate crops through the year and plant
Do you leave some of them fallow?
I leave some of them with a cover crop, that I can keep improving the soil. It's a clayey loam, so it's quite a challenge. Yes, I have to keep pouring in the cover crops and compost and just, you know, do my best to keep the soil, full of good organic stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. And from the very beginning, did you start doing winter gardening?
I started doing winter gardening when we moved to the Pacific Northwest in 1979, and I realized I could. I mean, to that point, I didn't. In New England, we had to succumb to winter, but here I was delighted to find that I could plant things year round. And one of the books that helped me a lot was Binda Colebrook's. What's it called?
Winter Gardening in the Maritime Northwest.
That's a wonderful book. And it's been through several editions, and I know the library has a copy.
I have an old one.
Yeah, I
bought and you have the new one.
I have a new one, but I lent out the old one and never saw it again. But that was really helpful. And I also just have kept experimenting and used Binda Colebrook's suggestions, but then, you know, tried to see what would grow here, or what I learned that friends were successful growing. I tried that too.
You keep fairly good records of what you tried.
I do my best. I do find that it's easier now with computers so available to, you know, just have a template for each year and try to remember to plug in what I've done and when I've harvested it and that sort of thing. It's good good idea in theory. I maybe 70% of the time I succeed.
Well, I was really fortunate to go to the talk that you did at the Garden Club earlier this year, and have been using your planting calendar and keeping better records of when I'm planting things, and that's really going to be helpful, I know, for next year, because I got some things in way too early this year, and you know, because of the weather and things have really not produced like I thought they would. So.
Well, the weather's always a variable. You can have a calendar, but you really have to pay attention to the weather first.
And with the weather we had this year, when we put out our little plants, and then it got cold, and then it got warm, and they went to seed, vernalization.
Right. Yeah.
And so we have plants that we had to start over again. They were tiny and went to seed.
I was listening yesterday on another radio station, Garden Show, and they were talking about just that, and I'm not sure I got this exactly right, but they were talking about chard that should actually seed next year, but it got so cold after they were large enough that they thought a whole season went by, and then it got warm again, so they're actually seeding now, and that's happening in my garden.
A chard is a good example of something that it's not a good idea to plant too early. It's better to plant it, you know, toward the end of April, maybe, in a typical year, because it will go to seed.
Speaking about that, do you think it's too late to plant?
Oh, no, now is the time. This is, the next 2 weeks are, these are the really good times where you can plant kale, turnips, rutabaga.
Parsnips?
Parsnips, you still could. I typically plant mine in early June, but you can plant parsnips now, carrots, beets, all of the root crops now. And in the, I usually try to start planting things like that around July 15th. So between now and the end of the month, I'll be planting the sort of sturdier roots. And then starting in August, I'll start planting the hardy greens, the arugula and escarole, mash, corn, or it's also known as corn salad. It's a wonderful hardy winter green. So there's plenty of time, plenty of time.
Okay.
Would you be direct seeding these, or would you be starting them in starts and then putting them out a little bit later?
Well, all the roots, all the you know, carrots, beets, turnips, rutabaga, even kale, I direct seed because I just have found in my experience they do better. But things like, and I direct seed arugula always, but mosh is one that's slow to germinate, so I've had better luck with that, starting it in, little seedling type pots and transplanting that out. But you can also direct seed it. It's just that it takes so long. And if
what about planting broccoli or cabbages or something and letting them just kind of sit there over the winter?
Over the winter, yeah. There are certain varieties that are especially good for overwintering.
Would you put those in now or a little bit later?
Well, Well, let me back up. I always plant Brussels sprouts for the winter, and I usually start those around the first week of June. And so I've already set those out in my garden, and they'll be our sort of winter brassica. That's one of my favorite coal crops. But I always like to experiment with, say, cauliflower, which I really like. And I've just set out some cauliflower plants, but I'm thinking I'll try some more. And there's some overwintering cauliflowers that I've actually never grown. Have you?
No.
I grew the Fiesta cauliflower, and I planted it in September. I started it in August, then planted it in September, and then I had really early broccoli.
Oh, that's great. So it made it through
spring.
The winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do to protect it over some of those cold snaps?
I had Ramey cloth over it.
Yeah.
I put Ramey over the whole winter. That's all I put over it. There was snow that went on top of the Ramey.
Yeah, the snow really helps because it insulates.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I'll
have
to try
that.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, good. So short answer, it's not too late to start. In fact, this program is timely because we really should be out there finding some space in the garden to plant things.
Do you use the moon cycles to plant pots?
I don't. It's just one more thing. I'm happy to just be able to get out there and plant, So
I did
but
once,
someday but when I have more time, maybe I will.
It's hard to, I found that when I did it, I felt like I wasn't getting things in at the right time. And so I gave it up.
Yeah. There is a good website. I think it's Organic Gardening website that has a lunar calendar that's available, and I printed those out, and I really tried for a couple of months to abide by that, and when I was doing my starts, and it's my schedule gets so goofed up, and I'm not here when I need to be putting something, the starts should be putting in, or I'm not getting them into the trays to start the seeds in the right time, so I think it's just one of those things that you have to keep doing it and doing it, and then looking at how things are actually growing to see if it's valuable to you, and then once you get used to doing it, then it.
I just wonder what the purpose of it's for. I mean, just Is it kind of like the tides? Does it pull water out of the soil up to the plant? I don't know.
I think you should get somebody in who knows
about this. Yes, I think so too. Great topic. Yeah, because I really couldn't answer that.
I have no clue. Yeah.
I've heard the darkness of the moon and the gravitational pull and, you know, all kinds of different things, but I couldn't. I'm not giving a good answer to that.
Well, somebody will volunteer.
There's definitely people that on the island that. Yeah. Well, I just want to say that it's a quarter after 12 right now, and that we'll open up our lines for callers to call with any comments or questions. And the number to call again is 468-3656. And this is July 13th that we're doing a live show, and if you're listening on a different Wednesday of July, we'll be broadcasting, but it'll be a repeat, so you won't be able to call in at that time. Okay. How do you manage, Debbie, planting for continuous vegetable harvests like greens? Do you plant like every, or do you do starts every few weeks, or?
Yeah, thinking just about winter crops right now, I find that arugula, mustard, spinach, and kale bolt if I plant them in the spring. So I always plant those starting, you know, late July into August. And the arugula is a good example where if I plant a little bit, say, the end of July, and then some more in a couple weeks, and some more in a couple weeks, and then maybe some in September, and even as late as late September, then I'll have arugula all through the winter.
Wow.
And it's such a hardy plant. I mean, it can freeze and come back. Mm-hmm. And I don't grow it in the spring. I just enjoy what finally survives into March. Mm-hmm. So I think choosing vegetables that you know won't bolt are a good way to keep things coming in succession. Mm-hmm. I tend to plant lettuce and all those more tender leafy things in the early spring and enjoy lettuce salads until about now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then eat other things.
Coleslaw.
and then move into the other things. But I think, again, it's really good to just experiment with what you like to eat, for one thing, and then just keep planting just little bits. I mean, draw a line. Make a row that's only 2 feet long, and don't be tempted to plant anymore. Hard to do, I know.
Do you rotate your plants?
I always do crop rotation, and I'm really fortunate because I have so many beds. I can rotate, through 4 or 5 years per bed, so that I don't.
Do you ever plant root plants, like go from carrots to beets, in the same bed?
I try not to, and I'm fortunate I have enough space. Mm-hmm. But
I'd like to set out some more leek starts, and I'm just running out of space right now, so. I have a bed of garlic that's ready to take out, and I was thinking about that, and I was thinking that's probably not a good idea to put leeks in.
Well, I wonder if you refertilize the soil.
But
I've also heard that, because they're all in the same family, probably if you just put more fertilizer in and compost, it'd probably be enough nutrition because the garlic will have taken a lot out, because garlics are heavy feeders, and then...
I think the main thing, another thing you'd want to worry about is whether there was any disease happening with the garlic. Does the garlic have it? Was there any rot in any of the bulbs, or was there any rust on the...
That's important. I have some lettuce planted that I need to, that's bolting now too. I can put it in there. But last year, the onions that were in that bed had rust.
Yeah.
Do you think if I put the leeks in there year again?
You put the garlics in afterwards, right?
No. It was onions. Now it's lettuce this year.
Oh.
I put lettuce in. I didn't put beans. Legumes would have been the better thing to put in there, but it had to have lettuce.
It's never perfect. You always just do what's going to work. But, you know, you could try a few leeks and see what happens, but maybe put some more somewhere else as a backup.
If you had a little bit
of space here or there.
Yeah. Plant them everywhere.
I think for planting leeks, I don't know if you use Steve Solomon's suggestions for planting leeks, but his little section in his book that I think you have over there is... was the most useful advice I got in growing leeks when I first moved here.
Could you explain that?
Well, what he has, he First of all, he grows only winter leeks. He doesn't bother with spring leeks, which was a relief for me because then that was one thing not to have to do in the spring. But he has you starting the leeks in a outdoors in a little, like, maybe 4 by 4 foot section of your garden that you've really built up with compost and made very friable, really nice soil. And you just plant the leek seeds right in there, and they cover it maybe with some remain or something. It takes a little while for them to germinate, but then they do germinate. They get, you've planted them quite close, you know, maybe a quarter of an inch to half an inch apart, and they get to the point where they're like little pencils, and then they're very easy to transplant out to bigger beds. And his description of how to do that in his book is just great, because he describes how you make a trench and you lay the leeks on one side and put dirt in and flip them over and put the dirt on the other side, and and it's just worked so well for me. So I truly recommend his strategy.
I've had great leeks year after year too.
He's really
he's
thought it through.
He's so good at what he knows. I mean, he just is really wonderful.
Really helpful.
That brings up another question is, what kind of resources, but I know Steve Solomon's book is excellent, but what other resources have you used as guides and in this year-round planting
quest? Well, I've used the Binder Colebrook, but I've also used seed catalogs, because I think it's helpful to look at, say, Territorial actually has a winter gardening catalog.
Territorial really does a good job.
And their cultural information ahead of each plant type is really helpful. And we also, there's another book that we've all mentioned liking, and that's Linda Gillickson's book. She's on...
Square Foot Gardening?
Well, no, she's on...
another one?
Salt Spring.
Or is that Carolyn BC. Helen? And not Carolyn Harriet?
Carolyn Harriet.
Is she on Salt Spring?
She's in...
she's in BC.
No, she's in Nanaimo.
Oh, okay.
Right. And then Linda Gillickson is another writer
Okay,
who's
I don't
done
know
a book.
About her.
We can...
Do you remember the name of that book?
Look,
she's just done another one.
Yeah,
I get a...
Right, that's what...
is that the one you're thinking of? I don't remember it. I just read it, but...
Well, Carolyn Harriet's The Zero Mile Diet, that's an excellent year-round gardening.
Really good.
And then the Seattle Tilth has the Maritime calendar, or the gardening calendar guide for year-round planting. And
And another fun thing to do is just to go into market stands and ask the farmers, so what are you planting? What are you planting now? I know Canacopiens is a terrific resource for things that grow well all season long.
Well, what are some of your very favorite vegetables that grow
Winter?
Yeah, through the winter.
Yeah, well, I'll just read off the list of things that have just done so well for me. Leeks, celery root. Is that something you two grow, celery root?
I just got seeds, and I know when we talked before, we talked about it might be kind of late to plant it, but I'm going to try and see.
Because
normally that's planted when?
Well, I usually start that in late March.
Yeah.
Because it's really slow to germinate, and then I transplant it out in early May, and then I don't really start eating it till October, so you can imagine that's quite a long season. But I do, and then it's a wonderful vegetable, either cooked or raw.
So baked with other root.
Yeah, oh no, it's baked and mashed, and celery root is just terrific. Leeks are great, we've already talked about those, Brussels sprouts, parsnips, carrots, beets, rutabaga, turnip, those things.
Yeah, all the... there's
rooty
so many
things and then all
that
the
you
greens,
can plant.
The kales, escaroles, radicchio, mustards, and a lot of the Asian greens. I don't know so much about Asian cuisine, but I have grown the mustards, and they're just so delicious in
they
the
winter,
are. Sautéed with, you know, garlic and red pepper and olive oil and served with anything. I mean, apples, it's just a terrific vegetable and very hearty.
I've had some good luck with pak choy.
Yeah.
And, or choy bok. There's two. One I've not had. I think it's the pak choy. I haven't had as good of luck with.
There's choy choy.
Yeah, but choy bok is...
Those are the little baby ones.
Yeah.
Choy choys.
And they've stayed, you know, fairly well through some of the cold weather.
Right.
I have a little hint. My sister gave me some of her big bok choy for my chickens.
Oh.
And I did not want to share all of it. And three of them had the big fleshy root bottoms. So I cut them off, put them in my garden, and they're growing.
Wow. So they put out new little new side leaves. Plants around.
Yeah.
That's great.
And also green onions that you get from the store. Mm-hmm. Cut them off. Patty Ward told me this because she said people in China do this. Cut them off and plant the bottoms.
The roots.
And they'll reroot. Awesome. I had some for 3 years in a pot in the house.
Yeah, and they just kept giving you onion flavor.
Yeah, kept giving me green onion tops.
Yeah.
Well, Debbie, you've started a little bit of a new project here that has to do with winter
all
gardening,
these,
but it has
and
to
all
do with
these all great hints that we're getting from each other.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I decided to start a blog, try the new technology. One of my friends said, "Wow, aren't you being modern, you know, moving into a new technology?" But it's called Lopez Island Kitchen Gardens. And I just started it today. I just put it on, you know, put it on the internet today. My husband was right there helping me press the right buttons. But if you want to find it, it's just Google Lopez Island Kitchen Gardens, all one word, lowercase, .wordpress.com. And what I'm imagining is that this will be a place where I can write more about kitchen gardens, home gardens, I hope encourage comments like and ideas.
That's
as
such
you've
a
been
good
sharing
idea
today.
Yeah,
so
it's wonderful.
So we'll keep you posted on how it goes. And it's a nice thing about using the internet is that we can have photographs. I have pictures. I hope to include some recipes. There's an opportunity for people to comment and share their own ideas. I'd love to be able to go out and interview other gardeners and maybe get pictures of their gardens and tips from them about things that grow. So I see it as a great way of sharing a lot of the knowledge that people have here now on Lopez.
It is a wonderful idea.
Yeah, it's
you know, similar
so
to
neat
what our thoughts
what
are about this
here
show,
on the show
on live. Yes,
what the Garden Club is doing. So,
it's a great, wonderful idea.
Thanks for asking about that.
Yeah, that's really
neat. Forward to that.
Yeah.
We're kind of running out of time. Maybe we have time for one last question. Jeannie, do you have one more thing that you wanted to ask?
Recipes.
Debbie? Yeah,
What are some of your favorite recipes for winter vegetables?
Well, I think so many of the roots, because they're sitting out in the garden and they've had a few frosts and they convert their starches to sugar, they're very high in natural sugars, so they roast beautifully. They start to caramelize. Mm. So if you take a rutabaga or a carrot or a parsnip and just cut it into chunks and toss it in a little oil and put it on a cookie
sheet. You leave all the peels on, don't you?
I don't, actually.
You don't?
Rutabagas have such big chunky peels that I take those off.
Oh,
I'll leave
okay
the carrot peels on. I'll usually peel the parsnips. And just toss them a little oil and roast them, and they get just like, as one of my friends said, they're vegetable candy. They're just
yeah,
so
they
good.
Are.
The flavor is so
delicious.
Lovely. and then you can do all sorts of things with them. You can eat them warm. You can get them to room temperature. Or you can take the vegetables, these roasted roots, and toss them with some greens, like some mosh or some raw kale.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe throw in some, you know, nuts if you have them, or a little cheese, a little local goat cheese or something. Mm-hmm. And it makes an amazingly tasty winter salad.
Mm. That sounds really good.
So there's
so
many. So
good.
Roasting and braising are really great. And all the greens also braise beautifully or saute beautifully. So. That's really the thing that keeps me out there.
Oh, I can't wait for winter.
I
think we're already there.
That's what keeps me going to the garden to plant things in July, because I know I'll get all that great food in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, Debbie, thank you so much for being with us. It is time to close our show for today. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed listening as much as we enjoyed having Debbie on as our guest. We're looking forward each month to bringing relevant garden information to you and providing knowledgeable guests such as Debbie. And if you'd like to hear about a specific topic or recommend a particular gardener guest, you can send an email to anne@kloi.com. Thanks again for listening. The show will repeat each Wednesday of this month at noon, and we'll be back with a new live show on Wednesday, August 3rd at noon.
By inch, row by row, I'm gonna